Good evening. Thanks for coming. My name is Dan, and the question tonight is, why would I need a god? And that's a fair question, because I imagine most of us don't like the idea of needing anything, right? Much less some kind of god. I can totally understand that. But here's something to think about. So, alright, think about the story of your life. Maybe you say you don't need a god, but I'm willing to bet that you want one. So, why do I say that? Because I think we're open to the idea of a god as long as we can control him. If we can take God and put him into our own little box where we can understand him, he becomes really useful, right? And we like useful. In our culture especially, we like a god who aligns with our political interests and ideologies. We want a god who's a feminist or a pacifist, a god blind to color or sexual orientation. We want a god who is in our corner, so to speak. A god who's useful. We like a god who fits into our story. Right? I can think of lots of times that I wanted God to be useful. One time, especially, I was in school and looking for a Christian girlfriend. Right? I wasn't a Christian at the time, but I figured that Christian girls would have good moral values and wouldn't cheat on me. I wanted the Christian God as long as he kept my girlfriend from cheating on me. Right? I wanted a God who was useful. A God whom I could control. And this sets the scene for our story about Jesus. Let me read real quickly here from the Bible. We'll be in John 6, reading four short verses from verse 47 to verse 51. I think it's on page 19 of your little John's Gospels. So from verse 47, Jesus is talking to a group of Jewish people around him. He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." So what's prompting Jesus to say this stuff? What's going on here? Well, some of the people in his audience, people who followed him, wanted to control him, wanted him to be useful. Right here at the beginning of John 6 is a story that probably even those of you who haven't ever opened a Bible are familiar with. Right, the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000 with five loaves and two fish. And I think you can understand how the people around Jesus really thought that was useful, right? Hungry bellies warm quickly to Jesus. But there were others who liked Jesus as well, because they wanted to fight off their enemies, the Romans. Right? The story says that after Jesus had fed the 5,000, the people moved to try and force Jesus to be king. In fact, they were so persistent, so forceful, that Jesus had to run away from them. Imagine them whispering, "Hey, wait a minute, right? Jesus just fed 5,000 men. If he can feed 5,000 men, he can feed an army. And if he can feed an army, then we can fight off the Romans." These people wanted Jesus because he was politically useful. He was politically useful then, and I think today that temptation to use a God who likes our politics still continues. See, the responses to Jesus come in different forms, but from the same heart. Some people just want to stop feeling hungry, whereas others want to use Jesus to fight for their freedom. They all, in one way or another, want Jesus to be useful. They want to use him for themselves. They want to control him, just like I wanted to use him to keep my girlfriend from cheating on me. Everyone, all of us, deep, deep down, want a God who's useful. But Jesus was not sent to earth to be a political pawn. He wasn't sent out to fill our stomachs or to keep us from being hungry. He wasn't sent to be useful. Instead, Jesus was sent to be the bread of life, right? That's Jesus' story. So, now, what does it mean that Jesus is the bread of life? Jesus' audience asks that too. And Jesus tells them a story about the history of Israel. Many of you have heard about Moses in the Bible. And at the end of Moses' life, he's leading the nation of Israel through the wilderness, wandering around in the desert. on the brink of death because they have no food. Right? And so Moses is distressed, and he calls out to God. He calls out to God for help, and God sends them bread from heaven called manna, which kept the people alive for 40 years. Jesus explains to the people, "Your Jewish ancestors ate manna in the desert, and they died. But I am the bread that comes down from heaven, so that anyone may eat of it and not die." Right, Jesus is using a comparison based on food keeping us alive. Manna kept people alive for a short time. But bread can't keep people alive forever. We all know that. Yet, Jesus is offering his very self as bread for us. That's why he says, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I give for the life of the world is my flesh." And now it just got weird, right? That sounds weird. "Jesus, you were doing so well, and then it got weird. What do you mean, the life that I give for the world is my flesh? Are we supposed to eat his body? Is this cannibalism?" I don't think so, because elsewhere in the Bible, Jesus holds up a piece of bread and says, "This is my body, which is given for you." Right? "This is my body, which is given for you." Given for you. Jesus is talking about his death, about how he's going to die to save us from our sin. He gave his body for us, that we might live forever. Jesus gave himself for the life of the world. We, all of us here tonight, and everyone you passed on the way here, everyone you've ever met, right? We all do things that dishonor God, which the Bible calls sin. We've all tried to use God for our own purposes. We've all tried to control him. We've all rebelled against him. And because of those sins, we all deserve death. And I think we can all agree that no amount of money can buy enough physical bread to save us from death, right? We can't eat our way to eternal life. We need God to save us from sin and death. But the great news of the Bible and Christianity, the great news of the gospel of Jesus, is that we don't have to do that because Jesus has already bought eternal life for us. He's already paid with his own death, and by his resurrection, he proves that we can have eternal life also. Physical food can keep us alive for a little while, but then we die, just like everyone else. Jesus is true food, rich food, spiritual food, because he can keep our souls alive forever. Right? The very need for physical food is a big pointer, a big arrow, to show us that we need spiritual food. Without Jesus, without the bread of life, we are spiritually dead, unable to save ourselves. We often want God because we can get stuff from him. But what we don't see is that he has already given everything for us. Let me put it this way. Jesus' body was broken so that yours can live. Believing in him, living in the light of his sacrifice, and letting his spirit change you is rich food that we can delight in. Life in Jesus is life to the fullest. Life in Jesus is a life forgiven of sins. Life in Jesus is freedom. Isn't this what we all truly need? Freedom, forgiveness of sins, life to the fullest? So, back to my story at the beginning. Right, I had been trying to control God to fulfill my relationship needs. I wanted him around as long as I got to feel loved by someone else. See, I was paranoid that I'd be left alone. That's not life to the fullest. That's a life of being paranoid. I was using God for what I wanted, but he gave me what I needed. Soon I was convicted of my sin, repented, and turned to Jesus. And let me tell you, life in him is brilliant, right? He wants to satisfy my deepest needs day after day. Not always what I want, but always what I need. God in Jesus became man and died so that my soul could live. Right, what could be more comforting than that? That's what I want to ask. What could be more comforting than that? What could be more powerful than that? What could be more life-changing than that? And so I have one point that I want to plead with you tonight. Right, listen to Jesus trust in him, believe in him, feed on his spiritual life so that your soul may live. Thank you.